Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, thankful, grateful, and as always, blessed to be with you this morning. God is good, and he is great, and his mercy is enduring forever and all time. Thanking God for this day, because he woke me up. Hallelujah. At 5:55 this morning. Triple grace. I'm believing God for triple grace today. I'm believing God for triple grace today. I'm speaking grace into existence. Triple grace is on my plate for today. Hallelujah. I'm claiming it. Are you claiming your triple grace? Are you claiming what God has for you is for you? And can't nobody take it. Can't nobody take my joy. Can't nobody take my peace less. And I'm claiming my blessings because God gave them to me. And the world can't take it away. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father God in heaven, I come to you with a joyful heart this morning, Lord God, thanking you for everything you do, Lord God. For I am nothing without you, Father. And all I can say is thank you. Father God, I ask you to increase as I decrease. Father God, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my very humble heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight. This I pray, Lord God, for you are my strength. I lift my hands in worship and praise, for you are my strength. You are my Redeemer. You are my Father God. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord, for the Savior, my friend, my Lord, my I am, my husband, my doctor, my lawyer, my all in all. Christ Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that he intercedes for me, sitting on your right side. Hallelujah, making enemies footstool as it goes along the way. Father God, thank you for carrying me in my darkest hour. Thank you for being with me always because I stand on your word of faith, O God, that you will never leave me or forsake me. This I believe to the core of my being. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. As you increase, Lord, I am decreasing. Let these words be your words, not my words. This name. Amen. Woo! Giving honor to the Most High God, who is the source of my strength and the strength of my life. I am a child of God, and all I can say is I am grateful. In a last night at choir rehearsal, you know how God will put something in your spirit, and we just got happy. You know, if you can get happy in choir rehearsal, you're going to bring it on Sunday. I got happy in choir rehearsal. When you start singing, I am grateful for the things that you have done. I am grateful for the victory we won. I could go on and on about your work. Whew, hallelujah. I am grateful. Whew, thank you, God. You can only get excited when you say grateful, grateful, grateful. Gratefulness. That's how I feel. Just grateful. Every day, as you all know because you're with me, I am thankful, grateful, and blessed to be a child of God. We got to start speaking our love for God into existence. I told you, I'm going to have triple grace today. I'm claiming it. I am claiming triple grace today. I'm believing God for it. Yes, I am. Hallelujah. We got to start speaking what we need. We got to tell our God what's going on. And what our God has already told those out there, touch not my anointed. God has anointed us. We are grafted in to his family. Touch not God's anointed people. Folks think they've got away with something, messing with the people of God, but I tell you, been done in the dark always comes into the light. In our word this morning, as we go into Esther chapter 7 through chapter 8, Haman is new. He had it going on. I got the king's signet ring. I got the king's signet ring. I got the king's signet ring. And I can make all laws I want. And I'm going to get rid of them Jews. That's what he thought. I'm going to get rid of them Jews. Why? Because he hated one Jew named Mordecai who would not, what? Bow down to him because he trusted in God. And he said, I will bow down to no other man. I will not kill all of God's anointed. Touch not my anointed. You and I are his anointed. We have been grafted in because of salvation, because of our faith in Jesus Christ, because our acceptance of him as our Lord and Savior. We are grafted in to the anointed. And I watched as Mr. Haman, Mr. Going It On, he's going to not only that, but he's going to ask the king, kill Mordecai. So he's going to be, I'm going to be proactive here. I'm going to build a 50-cubic gallows, because I'm already determined he's going to die. I'm getting that Mordecai. And then what happens, how God will flip a script. I'm getting him? No, God's getting you, because you touch his anointed. You're trying to annihilate God's people? Come on. Don't worry. You're going to get yours. You're going to get yours. And then what happens? Woo! Look at God. What God do it? He will. He builds this 50-foot cubic gallow in his yard because he's going to get Mordecai. You get him. I got the king's signet ring. I got the king's signet ring. I can do what I want, and I'm going to kill him, dude. That's what he's thinking. Wrong. Touch not God's anointed people. What happened? He goes in to the king. He's all good. He's all happy. He's getting ready to get rid of Mordecai because I'm going to ask the king, and I can get whatever I want out of the king because he's a manipulator, right? So he goes in. This is all an overview of what we've learned so far. And so he goes in. And he's all, puffed up. I'm ready to roll. I'm going to get what I want. But what he forgot, Mordecai saved the king's life. Mordecai kept the king from being assassinated by his eunuch. And so the king had forgot about giving Mordecai his due. And not knowing that Mordecai is his surrogate father-in-law. You know that? All he knew was he was a good man who kept him from being killed in a plot of assassination. And then God put that vexing in the king, and he knew there was something that he had not done that he needed to do. And so what he did was he went and looked in the book. See, there's something we need to do, and the only place we can do is go to our book, which is his biblical instruction before leaving earth. We got to understand that God's word is God's word, and we got to open it up and look at it. And so the king looked at the book, and he said, ooh, what did I do for Mordecai? And the Jew was like, you never did anything. His advisors, you haven't done anything for him. So then the king said, You know, gotta make something ironic. So you going in. You all pumped up. You got the signet ring. You're going to kill Mordecai. And so the king is thinking, and he's like, what? Let me, oh, wait, hold on. Here's Haman. Here's my main man. Hey, let me find out, what would you do if you wanted to honor somebody? I want to honor somebody. And so, of course, the king couldn't want to honor anybody, but why? It just must be me. So what would I want the king to do? Okay, yeah, I want the king's robe. I want to ride on the king's horse. I want somebody proclaiming how awesome and mighty that I am. I'm all that. Oh, yes, I am. Oh, yes, I am. I got this signet ring. And so he tells the king, we're going to go back into yesterday's lesson, said to Haman, hold on, let me get it right. And so Haman thought in his heart, who would the king delight to honor more than me? Hey, I'm all that. And Haman answered the king, for the man whom the king delights to honor, let a royal robe be brought, which the king has worn, and a horse on which the king has ridden, which has a royal crest placed on it. Ted, then let this robe and horse be delivered to the head of one of the kings, be delivered to the head of one of the king's most noble princes, that he may array the men whom the king delights to honor, then parade him on horseback through the city square and proclaim before him, thus shall be done to the man whom the king delights to honor. I'm all that. Yes, I am. That's Haman. Yes, I am. I'm all that. I'm all that. Wrong. You are not. Are not all that unless God deems us to be. And God deems the humble. The one that you least expect is going to get honored. And I love the fact that the king said, great. Then the king said to Haman, hey, take the robe, the horse, as you have suggested, and do so for Mordecai. Bam! What? I'm sure is what went through Haman's mind. What? I'm trying to kill him, and you want me to honor him? What? I came in to ask for his death, and now I got to give him everything that I wanted? What? Will make your enemy your footstool. Mordecai was going on about his business, and he wasn't thinking about Haman, except for the fact that this low-down, dirty, sneaky snake had put out a proclamation to have his people annihilated. But Haman didn't understand. Fasting and prayer changes a whole lot of things. When God gives you triple grace, all things fall into place. God gave him Esther for such a time as this. God gave him Mordecai, a man of God who saved the king's life. And God gave him favor to protect themselves. Play with God's people and think you're going to get away with it. You might think you got away with something, but God's going to mess you up. And understand, so Haman took the robe and the horse, arrayed Mordecai, and led him on horseback through the city square, and proclaimed before him, thus shall be that done to the man whom the king delights to honor. Afterwards, Mordecai went back to the king's gate. But Haman hurried to his house mourning and with his head covered. When Haman told his wife, Zeresh, and all his friends, everything that had happened to him, his wise men and his wise Zeresh said to him, if Mordecai, before whom you have begun to fall, is of Jewish descent, you will not prevail against him, but will surely fall before him. They did not understand a prophetic word. So let's get into our word today and see what happens to Haman the pinky neck. So the king and Haman went to dine with Queen Esther, and on the second day at the banquet of wine, the king again said to Esther, "What is your petition, Queen Esther? It shall be granted you. And what is your request? Up to half the kingdom, it shall be done." Then Queen Esther answered and said, "If I have found favor in your sight, O king, please, the king, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. For we have been sold, my people and I, to be destroyed, to be killed, and to be annihilated. Had we been sold as male and female slaves, I would have held my tongue, although the enemy could never compensate for the king's loss." So King Ahasuerus answered and said to Queen Esther, "Who is he and where is he who would dare presume in his heart to do such a thing?" And Esther said, "The advisory and enemy of this wicked Haman." So Haman was terrified before the king and queen. Then the king arose in his wrath from the banquet of wine and went into the palace garden. But Haman stood before Queen Esther pleading for his life, for he saw that evil was determined against him by the king. When the king returned from the palace garden of the banquet of wine, Haman had fallen across the couch where Queen Esther was. Then the king said, "Will he also assault the queen while I am in the house?" As the word left the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Now Harbonah, one of the eunuchs, said to the king, "Look, the gallows 50 cubits high, which Haman made for Mordecai, who spoke good on the king's behalf, is standing at the house of Haman." Then the king said, "Hang him. Hang him on it. What the enemy needs for evil, God will turn it around for your good. Be careful what you wish for others, because it will happen to you." So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's wrath subsided. Be careful what to do to God's anointed, because it will happen to you. He was planning on an anointed man of God. He was planning on killing God's anointed people. He was planning on doing evil because he had the signet ring. And he was making laws to hurt and not help, to harm and not heal. And God showed who was boss. Most people bowing down and kissing his feet. There is only one God. And any man who thinks that he can take the place of God better think again. Because I tell you this, he will reap what he sows. If you sow confusion and deceit and dissent, you better believe it. It is coming back to you. God don't like ugly. And all those who live by it, of that sword is going to die by that sword. Haman thought he could put up a gallows to kill Mordecai. And what happened? He got killed on that gallows himself. Whew. So they hanged Haman on the gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. Then the king's wrath subsided. On that day, King Ahasuerus gave Queen Esther the house of Haman, the enemy of the Jews, and Mordecai came before the king, but Esther had told him he was related to her. So the king took off his signet ring, which she had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. And Esther appointed Mordecai over the house of Haman, all of Haman's stuff. As you try to take, God gave. Whew. And I'm going to tell you, don't mess with God's anointed people. What God puts in place, don't try to take it away, because you're going to mess yourself up. God don't do evil well. Come on now. Ask the devil. And as we continue, it says, Now Esther spoke again to the king, fell down at his feet, and implored him with tears, evil on the name of the Agites, and the scheme which he had devised against the Jews. And the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king and said, if it pleases the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seems right to the king, and I am pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to revoke the letter devised by Haman, the son of the Hamadite, the Agite, of Hamadite, the Agite, which he wrote to annihilate the Jews who are in all the king's provinces. For how can I endure to see the evil that will come to my people? Or how can I endure to see the destruction of my countrymen? And King Ahasuerus said to Queen Esther and Mordecai the Jews, indeed, I have given Esther the house of Haman, and they have hanged him coward because he tried to lay his hands on the Jews. You yourselves write a decree concerning the Jews as you please, in the king's name, and seal it with the king's signet ring. For whatever is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's signet ring, no one can revoke. So the king said, I can't revoke that order, but God gives us a but. I can help you because you'll be able to protect yourself. And so this is what the king said. So the king's scribe was called at that time in the third month, which is the month of Sivan, on the 23rd day. And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded to the Jews, the steps and governors and the princes of the provinces from India to Ethiopia, 127 provinces in all, to every province and every people in their own language, and to the Jews in their own script and language. And he wrote in the name of King Ahasuerus, sealed it with the king's signet ring, and sent letters by couriers on horseback, riding on royal horses bred from Swiss seeds. By these letters, the king permitted the Jews who were in every city to gather together and protect their lives, to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the forces of any people or province that would assault them, both little children and women, and to plunder their possessions on one day in all the provinces of King Ahasuerus on the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month of Adar. A copy of the document was to be issued as a decree in every province and published for all people so that the Jews would be ready on that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. The couriers who rode on royal horses went out, hastened and pressed on by the king's command. And the decree was issued in Shushan the cathedral. So Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in royal apparel, a blue and white, with a great crown of gold, a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was glad. The Jews had light and gladness, joy and honor, and in every province and city, wherever the king's command and decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a holiday. Then many of the people of the land became Jews, because fear of the Jews fell upon them. Can I read that one more time? Then many of the people of the land became Jews, because fear of the Jews fell upon them. So there are people who believe to be Hebrew, but are Jews, because they were crafted in. They became Jews by faith and not necessarily by birth. And that's something that we have to look at, because we don't know who those 10 tribes are by birth who were scattered across the world. Because God said, you're not going to know who you are. You're not going to know who you are because of being a stiff-necked folk, stiff-necked, don't want to listen, don't want to obey, don't want to do what God said do, and now you don't know who you are. You have no clue who you are. And others who have been grafted in have taken your place. Some of them don't know who they are either. But God knows all. He knows us all. He knows everything about us. And he loves us anyway. For we are all God's children. We are all Jews in our own hearts. We belong to God. And we need to follow what thus says the Lord. Follow his laws and statutes. But we also are grafted in under grace through Jesus Christ. So that you are circumcised by your heart. It's not a physical circumcision, but a heart circumcision. We are all God's children, anointed. And God wants us to love each other, to love him, to be faithful to him, and to know who we belong to. You belong to God. You are saved by our queen. Hallelujah. And let's keep it moving in our word this morning. In our psalm this morning, we are coming out of the 90th psalm, verses 7 through 17. And it says, for we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we are terrified. You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your countenance. For all our days have passed away in your wrath. We finish our years like a sigh. The days of our life are 70 years. If you live longer than 70 years, is what it says. And if by reason of sin, they are 80 years, yet they both is only labor and sorrow. But it is soon cut off and we fly away. Who knows the power of your anger? For as the fear of you, so is your wrath. So teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Eternal Lord, how long have compassion on your servants. Oh, satisfy us early with your mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days in which you have afflicted us. The years in which we have seen evil, let your work appear to your servants and your glory to their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. What an awesome word of God. And we're going to do all our life lessons at the end today. Instead of putting them in, we'll come back and do all life lessons together. And as we go in, it says, cast out the scoffers. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 10 through 11. Cast out the scoffer and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. They had to kill the scoffer in Esther's time. They had to get rid of him, to get rid of all the confusion that his evil self was causing. One man was about to cause confusion for a whole nation. One man can cause confusion for a whole nation. We saw it in the time of Haman. One man with his decree to annihilate a whole people and cause confusion and prejudice and racism and bigotry among a whole nation. So that was those who were like, $10,000, I can handle that. They was looking at the money. It was all about the money. Haman was greedy and evil and power hungry. And he got his dessert. His just dessert. He got what he wanted. Haman, that he was trying to give, to somebody else. Be careful what you wish for, because you might get it. And it says it's cast out the scoffer and contention will leave. Yes, strife and reproach will cease. He who loves purity of heart and has grace on his lips, the king will be his friend. Mordecai had love and purity in his heart, and the king became his friend. And what happened to the scoffer who created confusion? He died on the gallows he meant for someone else. Be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you want to do to other people. You don't know the evil that you do may be against God's anointed, and it will come back on you every time. Touch my anointed people. Don't touch God's folks. Because understand, you will eventually reap what you sow. Romans chapter 5, and it says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice. Woo, hallelujah, what a word. Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, who was given to us. Thank you, Jesus. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. Whoo, hallelujah. Let's say that again. I want to go there one more time so it permeates your spirit, that you see what the word is saying. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the what? Ungodly. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's in the word. But this is what the word also says. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Person died for a righteous man. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. But to die is to live. Jesus died to live for us. He died and took our sins into the grave, and he lived to give us eternal life. What a mighty God we serve. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and we know Adam, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sin, for until the law of sin was in the world, the sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. But if by the one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, but the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. But if by the one man's offense death reigns through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so, through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Praise the Lord. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can we say thank you, God, this morning? Praising the Lord this morning for his grace. Thanking God for his love. Knowing that we are his anointed and he has covered us from the crowns of our head to the soles of our feet with the blood of the Lamb who sacrificed his life for us. Thank God for the blessing. Thank God for his love. Thank God for his grace and mercy toward us. And as we go into our life lessons for today, starting back in our Old Testament, in Esther 7:3, let my life be given me at my petition and my people at my request. Esther was asking for grace. It says, even in her urgent request, Esther demonstrates a humble spirit and a restrained attitude, thus enduring her even more to the king. Godly self-control wins her far more than a violent outburst ever did. And this is Esther 8:2. Esther appointed Mordecai over the house of Haman. The reversal of fortune that just kept happening. Even when the skies grew darkest, we can stand on God's word and pray that he will intervene for our good and his glory. The story of Mordecai and Haman well illustrates Proverbs 13:22. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Praise the Lord. And as we go into our Psalm 90:14, satisfy us early with your mercy. God wants our relationship with him to fill us in gladness as an advertisement to the world of his goodness and mercy. In your presence is fullness of joy. Psalm 16:11. Hallelujah. In your presence is fullness and joy. Fullness of joy. In your presence is the fullness of joy. Hallelujah. Thanking God for the fullness of joy in his presence. Because we are his anointed people. Hallelujah. And as we go into Romans 5:1, having been justified by for the evidence of things not seen, we got to have faith and have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. For those who place their faith in the risen Christ, the war with heaven is over. We move from darkness to light, from enemies to beloved children, from death to life. God showers his peace on those who trust him. I got to read that again, because again, it covers it all. Touch not God's anointed people. We're going to reap what we sow when we do what's wrong. You reap what you sow. When you sow good, you reap good. When you sow bad, you reap bad. When you sow evil, you reap evil. It might not be when you think, and it may not even be you. It may be your descendants, because you cannot do dirt and think you will get away with it, because you won't. When you're hateful, hate comes back on you. When you're loving, love comes back on you. We got to trust God in all things and know that we are loved. And it says this in Romans 5:1, having been justified by faith, we are peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to read that, what Dr. Stanley tells us, one more time. For those who place their faith in the risen Christ, the war with heaven is over. We move from darkness to light, from enemies to beloved children, from death to life. God showers his peace on those who trust him. Do you have peace today? I'm claiming triple grace myself. God woke me up at 5:55, and I am claiming my grace today. Triple grace, I'm claiming it. Hallelujah. I have faith that God is going to give me grace. Hallelujah. And it says in this word, the grace in which we stand. When we think of grace, we think of God's unmerited favor, and rightly so. God forgives us out of his unconditional love. Therefore, we cannot earn our salvation, nor can we do anything to lose it. Unfortunately, there are some who fall for the lie that God's grace stops doing its work in us after we receive Jesus as our Savior. They forfeit the peace that God has provided them without need because they don't realize that God's grace is founded in love, that it's secure, not unpredictable or temperamental. Rather, the selfless mercy that God continually shows us is the very love Jesus displayed at Calvary. In Romans 5, verses 1 through 2, the Apostle Paul explains, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice the hope of the glory of God. We stand securely in God's love because of Christ, not by our own merit. However, where many people become confused is because of the troubles they endure. They believe that they must have somehow fallen from God's favor because of the pain they face. But we all have that, as they say, we have that pain in our side for a reason. God reminds us who we are. None of us are perfect, but we are all loved by God. And I love this. It says, yet Paul demonstrates that God even uses the heartache of our good. We all have been through. We all have been through. Some of us have lost more than others. Some of us have been through more than others. It's not because we're so good and they're so bad, but it's because we've got to believe. I keep looking like, Lord, what in the world? And Lord said, from your mouth will come a message. From your chest will come a testimony. And when we remember that, whatever we're going through our God will show us light. Through the darkness of the worst storms, God will give you favor and light. We want favor today. We want grace today. We want the mercy of God to shine upon us today. We want to have that peace that can only come from God. Because we got the signet ring to right a wrong. Hallelujah. Keep trusting God today. And as Paul wrote also, we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Understand that problems will come into your life. However, there is no reason to believe that God has stopped loving you or that you have somehow lost his grace. Just the opposite is true. God has allowed this suffering so that you will learn to persevere, so you'll develop his character, and so you'll have hope because of his great love for you. God wants you to experience his eternal abundant life more deeply. However, the only way to prepare you for it is through hardship. So as you can see, even the trials are the outpouring of his grace. Therefore, instead of doubting God's love because of your troubles, rejoice in them. As 1 Peter 4:12-13 admonishes, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you, but rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's suffering, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. And as we get into a couple more life lessons this morning, all I can say is thanking God today that I am his anointed, that you are his anointed, that we are grafted in as God's anointed people. He is watching over you, even when you least expect it. In Romans 5:3-4, we also glory in tribulations. As we say it again, we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. I read that again. Romans 5:3-4. We also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. Trials, difficulties, and adversities are often God's way of maturing us into people who look more like his son. No one likes trials, but by faith we can begin to understand how God may want to use them for our good. Hallelujah. I'm thanking God this morning. You know, thanking God for his love, thanking God for his grace, thanking God for his kindness toward me. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus did not die only for nice people. He gave his honoring life for our God-honoring life, dishonoring life. I'm going to read that again. Thank you, Dr. Stanley. Jesus did not die only for nice people. He gave his God-honoring life for our God-dishonoring life. He did this because of God's amazing love. God loves you. God loves me. God loves us all. Even though we may go through, understand that God goes through with us. And I say it again. We are sons and daughters, and we have been grafted in as his anointed. Touch not God's anointed people, because God is God of covered. We are covered by his blood, the blood of Jesus. And as we get ready to roll out of here this morning, because I got to go to work, and we got things to do. This is the word that God gave our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. Good morning. God's timing is perfect. It may not be the timing we want, but it's the timing we need. Wait on him. Have a wonderful Wednesday. And again, right in, again, I on purpose never let Sister Carolyn know, because I don't always know what I'm teaching until God gives it to me. But understand, what did she say? God's timing is perfect. It may not be the timing we want, but it's the timing we need. Wait on him. And understand, at the time that Haman had his horrible edict written, that the Jews would be killed on a particular day, God was using Esther and Mordecai. He used Mordecai in a way that Mordecai didn't even know, because Mordecai heard and saved the king's life. Esther was beautiful and caught the king's eye. One man's evil for his people's good. God's timing is always perfect, and we should never, ever forget that. And I love the word for our prayer for this morning, and it's coming out of Romans chapter 8, verse 25. If we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. If we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. And this is our prayer for today. Faithful one, the mark of your loyal love is all over my life. I could not deny that your power has moved through me in many ways. You speak and the lights come on. You move and my heart feels as if it could fly. In the mundane, I see you. I see you in the way the flowers bloom in the spring, growing swiftly after the rain. I see you in the way children readily forgive, just wanting peace and joy of restored relationship. As I count the ways, I have seen your faithful character at work in my life. The answered prayers and desires, I can't help but be filled with courage as I look toward the future. My hope is in what I cannot see, yet my faith is in the one whose mark is all over my life. Lord, may I be patient in hope, knowing that your timing is perfect. Thank you that I don't need to make this happen. I rest in your unfailing love that carries me through. What do you do when your patience is running thin? You wait on the Lord. So thank God this morning that he has given you another day. Thank God this morning that he has given you grace. Thank God this morning that he loves you more than anything. And have a blessed and wonderful day in the Lord, knowing that you are favored by God and he loves you. Have a great day, family. It is, as we say, on Moving Forward, it's a wrap, because girls got to go to work. I love y'all, and I thank God for each and every one of you. Have a blessed and wonderful day, knowing that you are a child of God, and he loves you. Thank you, God, for giving me another day. And I'm already believing by faith I'm going to have triple grace today. Hallelujah. Thanking God for it, and every one of you. Be blessed, family. It's a wrap. It's a wrap. And as we say again every morning, may the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Be blessed. And now it's officially in my fourth or third. I'm not sure which closes. It's a wrap. Have a great day.